There's really just a spirit of prophecy that I feel here tonight. I feel in my heart that God has even spoken to some of you prophetically tonight. And I encourage you to get a pen and paper out and write that down. I want to hear that. I want to know what God is saying. I can just sense that there is such a spirit of prophecy here tonight. And I've been mulling over some things for a few weeks now, and don't know that I have the full realization as to what God is trying to say, but I want to give you what I have anyway tonight. I pray that you be attentive and that you hear with ears that are burning by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some things I want to show you that I believe the Lord is doing for us and through us. There's really just been a really unique time the last several weeks that we've gotten together. And even in preparation, there's been a unique time for me. In that, there are times where I feel like there's a download that comes with all kinds of information. And then there are times where I feel like God gives me glimpses. And I feel like we've been in a place the last several weeks where God's just given us a glimpse of what he's trying to say to us. And it's the last several weeks have been very practical, I believe, in application. A lot of ministry time and a lot of just a lot of great time in the Holy Ghost. I was in a service today, and I actually had to repent. I woke up early this morning, and I had to, I'll just be frank, I had to play at two services this morning, and quite frankly, I didn't want to go. I don't know how else to say it or make it sound correct, but I just didn't want to go. And my thought process was, God, I don't think you're going to be there, so I don't want to be there. And I got through the first service and noticed that something was going on, and got into the second service, and there was a man there. It always amazes me that we're having all kind of problems with, it doesn't amaze me that we're having all kind of problems. We're having all kind of problems with the sound system tonight. They have taken amps out and pulled amps in and rented amps and all that stuff. So just try to focus with me and see if we can get through this. If not, I'll put this down. But I really want to be able to speak this into the mic just so we can get it on our podcast. There was a man today who came all the way from Modesto, California, and was speaking in the service that I was in today. And it amazes me, what I was going to say, is that he brings people from California who share your heart to speak into your life and speak into places that you burn for. And he just opened his mouth and he just began to say, it's not about a church, it's about this city. And, you know, that sounds really simple to you, except for the fact that I've heard God say that it's not about a church, it's about this city. And he just began to lay it out, and I sat there and I said, God, I'm sorry. You wanted me to be here today, and I didn't want to be here. But you wanted me to be here. You wanted to speak into my heart. And he just began to open the door and lay some things out and really set some framework for this church that we were at. And it just amazes me what God's doing. Just as a matter of praise report, as we get into this, we've been planning God of the City. We were wondering about a venue, wondering about what we were going to do. Found a place called Hotel Louisville that is owned by the Wayside Christian Mission. And got in talks with them. And the date that we had originally was September 10th and 11th. They said that's not open, but we have October 15th and 16th open. And we'd like to let you use it for free. And so we said, we'll take it. And so we're adjusting that. They're going to let us use the venue for our pastor's luncheons, everything at a cheap price. We're working on a promo video for the conference, and we had thought it was going to cost us somewhere between $300 to $500, maybe even more than that initially, and have found a gentleman who said, I'd love to do the video, but I don't think I could charge anything for helping spread the gospel, and so the promo video is going to be done completely free, the time and the editing and all of that stuff. See, y'all killing me. Did y'all hear what I said? Free, the venue. You know, some of the other prices we got were $10,000 for a weekend, $5,000 for a weekend. I think the lowest we got was $1,000 for a weekend, and we still have to bring in equipment. And we're talking about a public venue that is free. Somebody ought to give God praise. That's what she was just talking about being thankful. If we'll show him we're thankful for that, he'll give us a reason to be thankful that there's 1,000 people there that night. Amen? He'll give us a reason to be thankful for greater things. And so we're thanking God for that. And there is such prophetic significance about what we're doing in October. And I don't feel released to share that with you right now, but I'm telling you that there is ginormous prophetic significance into what's going on in October, and I will share that with you in the coming days as we get closer to that. I want you to go with me to Ezekiel chapter 43, and I just want to show you some things out of Ezekiel tonight. Jesus, I feel you. Jesus. Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 43. I'm reading from the New Living Translation tonight. After this, the man brought me back around the east gateway. That's verse 1. Suddenly, the glory of the God of Israel appeared from the east. The sound of his coming was like the roar of rushing waters. The whole landscape shone with his glory. I want you to notice right there that he brought me back around to the east gateway, and the glory of the God of Israel appeared from the east. The sound was like the roar of rushing waters. And watch this. It doesn't say that the church was filled with his glory. And it doesn't say that the temple was filled with his glory. The great theme in Ezekiel is the fact that he sees the glory of the Lord in the temple. He sees the glory of the Lord depart from the temple. And he sees the glory return. That's the three major themes in the book of Ezekiel. If you read that, one would think, oh, he's automatically talking about the glory of the Lord returning to the temple. But I want you to see what happens before that happens. It said that the whole landscape shone with the glory of God. What did we just read in Isaiah? That the whole earth is filled with his glory. One of the things that we have got to do is we've got to understand that what we experience here, it's great and it's wonderful. But what we experience here has to transfer to out there if we're ever going to see the vision that God has given us come to pass. We were downtown this Thursday night for our home group. We went down to the waterfront, and we were having a good time just hanging out, eating, and we started to sing and to pray. And I'm telling you, it felt like two rhinoceroses hitting each other, just head on. There was such a resistance. I don't know if you felt that in the spirit, but it was there. It was big. And the reason for that is because, like I said, it's one thing for us to do this in here. It's one thing for us to make prophetic declaration in here. It's another thing for us to put works with our faith and walk out of this door and declare, God, not just in the warehouse, but in Louisville, you're the God of the city. On the waterfront, you're the God of the city. With people walking by looking at us thinking we're crazy, we declare you're the God of the city. And one of the things that I'm burning for is not that you experience the glory of God here. It's great. It's wonderful. I love these times. But I burn to get calls from you and say, I could barely get through my day today because the glory of God was so heavy. I could barely get through my job today because the glory of God was so heavy. I'd long for women to call and tell us, listen, we were working in the house and we were doing this, and all of a sudden the glory of the Lord filled the house and we were unable to do anything. Because I want you to understand that what happened in the Bible is a mirror of what is possible for us. And before the glory ever came back to the temple, the glory filled the earth. I want the glory. Listen, man, we can have all the services you want. We can do all the music you want. And I can give you a 3-point sermon and we can hoop and holler and run. But at the end of the day, I want his glory. I don't care about any of that. I don't care. I don't care if there are two people that show up here. If you think that it's all about what's happening inside, we have got to change our attitude. And I want the landscape to show his glory. You got to get this. You got to catch this. The whole landscape shone with the glory of God. This vision, verse 3, was just like the others I had, that I had seen first by the Kabar River, and then when he came to destroy Jerusalem. Watch this. I fell face down on the ground. I fell face down on the ground. I've told you this before. One of the reasons that the whole earth is not filled with the glory of God is because we don't know how to stay on our face. Every time that Ezekiel encounters the glory of God, and every time he gets in a place where God is moving, every time it puts him on his face. And I'm telling you that if we do not become a people, that when we experience times like we experience today, if it doesn't make us on Monday and on Tuesday get on our face and say, God, I've got to have more than what you had, then what we have become are sensationalists. And I refuse to be a part of a people who are worried about feeling a sensation and triggering emotions. I'm telling you, I want his glory, and if we'll get his glory, it'll teach us to be on our face, and if we'll stay on his face, we'll keep our glory. Said that then the glory of the Lord, then it came into the temple through the east gateway. Verse 5. Then the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner courtyard, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And I heard someone speaking to me from within the temple. While the man who had been measuring stood beside me. You remember the vision that Ezekiel had? There was a man who was leading him who had a measuring stick. You remember this? And he was measuring in the water, and he was measuring the temple and showing him, this is what he's talking about here. He stood beside me. Watch this. There was a man standing beside him who was measuring, but Ezekiel knows the difference. The Lord said to me, not the man, the Lord said to me, son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place where I will rest my feet, Jesus. I will live here forever among the people of Israel. They and their kings will not defile my holy name any longer by their adulterous worship of other gods, or by honoring the relics of the kings who have died. Listen, if you don't think we serve a jealous God who is concerned about his bride, look at the language that he uses. We act as if sin is no big deal and I'll just repent and I'll just do this. But when we live a life of sin, to God it looks like adultery. He said, I want you to have no other lovers. We got to begin to live like we're the bride, man. We have got to begin to live like we are his bride. One of the things that grabs me right here before we move on, we'll move on in just a minute, but one of the things that grabs me right here, D, is the idea of the grace that God had. Whenever you read the Bible, you see that over and over and over and over again, his people fell into idolatry and then would turn back to God. It is a recurring theme over and over and over. I'm going to tell you that after I tell my kids something twice, it drives me nuts if they haven't listened. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And over and over and over, you got to see the picture of this love that Christ has. Over and over, they fall into idolatry. And he comes to this place right here and he says, you know what? You've even had your idolatry in the temple trying to share it with me. Look at the grace. He said, but this is the place of my throne. This is where my government will be established. This is where I'm going to put my feet down. And I'm going to stay just a while. Look at verse 8. They put their idol altars right next to mine with only a wall between them and me. They defiled my holy name by such a detestable sin. So I consumed them with anger. Do you see what God is really saying? Could you imagine if I'm married to Rebecca and she's my wife, but I bring somebody in that I'm hanging with on the weekend and on the side and set them down beside my wife? Do you think that that would go over? No, but see, we don't think about it that way. We'll bring our junk in and say, okay, God, today I need you to dwell with my junk that I've been dealing with for a week. Would it work? Listen, let's just get down and dirty. Would it work if I had them right here, both of them? And I said, honey, I'm just struggling. I'm struggling. I'm working on this. I'm working on it. I'll be home about 11. Are you going to wait on me? We don't think about it, do we? We don't think about it. Can you imagine that? Would I be alive if I said, I need you to work with me. I'm struggling. God, I really want to serve you and I want to give you everything I am, but I'm struggling. I'm struggling. God, I really want you. Here's what I'm going to do, God. There. I've split you up now. And I got a wall that's dividing you. I'm struggling. I know I shouldn't mess with pornography any longer. I know that I shouldn't mess with this junk any longer, but I'm struggling. Will you work with me? Will you work with me? And the whole time, God is saying, I have what you need to break the curse. Do you understand that the reason, watch this, the reason that I'm able to stay true in a marriage is because of the love that I have for my wife? When we get a love for our God like we're supposed to have, it's not about what we can't do and what we shouldn't do. It's about the love that's on the inside of me that pushes me to a place where I wouldn't dare want any other lover, and I wouldn't dare want to separate them with a wall and say, I'll be with you in just a moment. And this is what they were doing. They would put their idols in the temple, put a wall up, and say, God, I want you to come. The problem with that is that this is what happens in churches all across America. And we wonder why cancer is not being healed. And we wonder why people are not being raised from the dead. And we wonder why our lost loved ones won't be saved. It's because they see us talking to this one, and they see us talking to this one and saying, I'm struggling, but I'm working on it. I'm telling you, God is looking for a people who are willing to tear down some walls and trash their idols and say, my God is all that I need, and he's all I'm ever going to need, and I want him more than I want anything else. God in his infinite grace. Can you imagine my wife saying, it's okay.
I forgive you, and I'm going to act like nothing ever happened. But that is what God did. He said, this is the place of my throne. This is where I'm going to put my feet. He said, they defiled my holy name with such detestable sin, so I consumed them with my anger. Watch this. Here's grace. Here it is. Now let them stop worshiping other gods and honoring the relics of their kings, and I will live among them forever. God, give us a heart for us to care about you living among us. Give us a heart, God, for us to care about you living among us. Now here's where I wanted to get the whole night. Verse 10. Son of man, describe to the people of Israel the temple. I've shown you. Watch this. So they will be ashamed of their sins. Look at this. Let them study its plan, and they will be ashamed of what they have done. Describe to them all the specifications of the temple, including its entrances and exits, and everything else about it. Tell them about its decrees and laws, and write down all of the specifications and decrees. As they watch, they will be sure to remember and follow them. What are you saying? What are you saying, God? Show them the pattern of a building, and they're going to remember me and be ashamed? Show them its entrances and its exits and everything that goes in. One translation said, let them measure the pattern of the building and they will be ashamed. Literally could be translated, let them measure themselves by the pattern of the temple. How could that matter? How could it matter? If I see the temple, you got to understand the temple. If you're going to catch what I'm getting ready to tell you, you got to understand some things about the temple. The first thing you need to understand about the temple is that when you walked in the temple, immediately there was an altar that was there that you could kill a sacrifice, sprinkle the blood on the horns of the altar, and make yourself clean. So you could go to the next step. If I had time, I would teach you that this is symbolic of repentance and coming to Christ. You'd go a little further in the temple, just a little bit further. And what you would find, somebody move that really quick, please. What you would find is the brazen laver. This brazen laver is where the priest would come and they would wash their hands, because they had just committed the sacrifice out here. Are you with me? Stay with me. And they washed their hands. And if I had time, I'd teach you that this is symbolic of sanctification. That after you have repented from God, you move to the next step of sanctification. And God begins to cleanse you of all unrighteousness and take everything out of you. Are you with me? And so what I see is I've got something that's happening here. And then as you go just a little deeper into the temple, what you find is you have the table of showbread. You have the table of showbread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And if I had time, I'd talk to you about moving on into Revelation and moving in to what Christ had for us. In the temple, you had the table of showbread. And then as you went just a little further, in the same room, across from it, you have the golden lampstand. The golden lampstand is representative of Jesus being a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. And I would tell you that as you move deeper and deeper with God, that there's more illumination and there's more revelation. And then as you go just a little deeper, You move on into your relationship with God. You have the altar of incense, which represents worship and intercession. And as I move deeper, it's no longer about my sacrifice and it's no longer about my revelation, but I can move into a place of intercession, into a deeper realm of God. And then finally, you get into the Holy of Holies. There's the Ark of the Covenant. The Shekinah glory rests in there. Now, to someone who doesn't know, I feel the Holy Ghost, who doesn't know about God and doesn't know all of the religious rhetoric that we know and doesn't know all of the Christianese that we speak, the Lord tells Ezekiel, show them the pattern of the temple. And if I step back here, I see that there's a pattern. Jesus. And I understand that everything that happened in the Old Testament is Christocentric. It points to Jesus the Christ in the New Testament. I'm about to run. And as I look at this, I realize that everything that was symbolic in the Old Testament is available to me under the new covenant of the New Testament. And I realize that every word that I think I'd like to tell somebody really doesn't amount to a hill of beans in light of the pattern of the temple. If you look at this with me really close, you can see that there is a straight line from the outer court to the Holy of Holies. And then if you look into the inner court, there's another line that is drawn right here. He said, show them the pattern of the temple and let them look at it. And I found out that the pattern of the temple, it kind of resembles the cross. Oh, does anybody hear what I'm trying to tell you? He looked into the future and said he was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And you don't understand what I'm telling you now, but because my glory's here, I'm going to give you some revelation that you can show them the pattern of the temple. And when they see the pattern of the temple, they're going to be ashamed of what they did. What are you saying, preacher? When you look at the pattern of the cross in life, of the sin that I've committed, and I think that he died for me and he was beaten and he was hung on a tree, I am ashamed of my sin and it makes me fall at his feet. I can see the pattern of the cross from the pattern of the temple, and in light of the cross I can understand that there is restoration that is made for me. That's where I get that grace from. That's why he allows me to live from him. The pattern of the temple is the pattern of the cross. It's different when I look at a building. A building doesn't make me ashamed of my sin. But I can't look at the cross. I can't look at my Savior who hung on a tree and bled and died for me and not be ashamed. Not say that there's compromise in my life. Not say that I've been eat up with being self-absorbed and pride and all of the junk that's been in my life. I can look at a building and say, you know what? That's nothing to me. But when I look at the pattern of the cross, he said, show them the pattern of the cross. Show them the pattern of the cross. Because when they see that cross, when they realize... they realize that while they were yet sinners, I sent my son to die for them. I heard Paul say, I didn't come to teach you with enticing words of man's wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say that if I would have taught you with words, it would have made the good news of the cross void. What are you saying, PR? I'm telling you that we get so caught up in what we got to say and what we got to do and how we're going to do this and what program's going to work here. And he said, show him the cross. Show him the cross. Why? I'm not man enough to die on the cross. I would kill. You better listen to me. I would kill any person that attempted to come and take one of my sons. I'm not playing. I'm talking about call the cops right now. We're not going to fight. You're going to die if you mess with one of my kids. He said, I know this is hundreds of years, Ezekiel. Hundreds of years before it's going to matter. It's hundreds of years. I got a plan. I think it'll work. Show them the pattern of the temple. Show them the cross. What did Paul say? The cross is foolishness. It's foolishness to them that are perishing. It's foolishness to think that somebody would lay their life down who didn't even know me. It's foolishness to them that are perishing. But to us who've received the grace that came from the cross, it's life. How is Louisville going to be the most safe city in America? PR, are you going to have a hot sermon for the conference? You got great revelation. Is that what's going to happen? Are you guys going to rock the house with your music? Go show them the cross. Because you know there's leaders. There's leaders across this city who didn't get into it when they first got into it for a paycheck. And they didn't get into it for fame. They got into it because of an old rugged cross. There are men who stand in pulpits across this city who were addicted to drugs, who were addicted to pornography, who had murdersome thoughts, who did all kind of things. But they saw the cross one day. And I don't know if they're still looking at it, but I can promise you one thing. We're going to show them the cross. We're going to show them the cross. We're going to say, look at the pattern. This is where it started, man. This is what it's really about. Look at the cross. If you read the next verse, he said the absolute law of this temple, the basic law of this temple is absolute holiness. Why? Because I can't look at the cross and still feel okay in my junk. I can't look at my wife if I've got a little fling on the side. You can't look God in the face if you're not really separated to him. And that's what holiness is about. He said the basic law of this temple. Do you remember Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy? Remember those three books of the Bible? When God said, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And I want purple here, and I want gold here, and I want the cord strung this far, and I want the ephod to look like this when you put it on Aaron's sons, and I want this sacrifice to be for this, and I want women who are dealing with their deal to be excommunicated from the camp for 7 days, and you're not allowed to touch anything dead. You get what I'm saying? You remember the rules and the regulations and all of the stuff that would be unattainable? His glory comes into the temple. He says, show them the pattern of the cross. And here's the law. holiness. And you say, well, wrapped up into holiness are all of these laws and all of these regulations and all of this junk that I'm not sure I can abide by. What you really mean is that I'm kind of comfortable where I'm at and I don't really want to do anything else. Because true holiness is this, that I am separated to God. And if I am separated to God, I don't give a flip about what I'm separated from, because he's so much greater than anything I could be touching. It's not time for enticing words of man's wisdom. It's not time for another program. It's time to show this city the pattern of the temple. It's time to show this city the cross. How many of you, when you saw the Passion of the Christ, you cried? You could barely sit through it. Why? If I can't look at what Jesus did for me and not act like it's a big deal. That's why he said, show them the pattern of the cross. And the New King James Version says, let them measure the pattern. Remember I told you that? Literally. Let them measure themselves by the pattern of the temple, or let them measure themselves by the pattern of the cross. But I've given up so much, PR. I've done so much. Have you measured yourself by the pattern of the cross? You don't understand. I've been going through hell for most of my life. Have you measured yourself by the pattern of the cross? You know, they started talking to Paul about that in the New Testament. I've done this, man, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. And he said, listen, none of you have had to bleed for this cause yet. Have we measured ourselves by the pattern of the cross? I don't ask you to measure yourself by me or anybody who's walking this earth. But in light of what you are called to do, have you measured yourself by the pattern of the cross? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you've spoken to us and through us tonight. And God, you said thousands of years ago that if they would look at the pattern of the temple, they would be ashamed. God, and I just say, when I look at the pattern of this cross, when I look at the pattern that's in the temple, it's not even possible for me to think that something could cohabitate with you in my life. God, we want to see this city saved. We want to see our loved ones saved. We don't have enticing words of man's wisdom, but we can show them the cross. We can show them the cross.